Monday, happy days.
Tuesday,
Wednesday, happy days.
Thursday,
Friday, happy days. Saturday, what a day. Rockin' all week with you. These days are to be mine. These days are always be mine.
Goodbye, gray sky, hello blue. There's nothing can hold me when I hold you. It feels so right. Be wrong, rocking and rolling all week long. Hello, sunshine. Goodbye, rain. She's wearing my school ring on her chain. She's my steady, I'm her man. I'm gonna love her all.
And we're back with Worship Factory on KKLA 99.5 FM. I am Kempton Bryan with Rod Schreckengaust and the one and only Monique Donnelly.
With my cool friends.
Your cool friends.
Jerry and Susanna Klein.
Yeah, of the happy days. And the book, you know, we got into all kinds of things besides the music, which everybody knows. And anybody ever watched television probably. And if you've not watched television, you've heard Happy Days music probably most of our lives. Even the young people today being syndicated and continue to be rolling somewhere in that show. And that music is just, it goes without saying. It was probably one of the things that, probably one of the most recognized themes, probably without a doubt, in the world, I would imagine, being Happy Days. I mean, my goodness. But I want to talk about the book. You know, you were talking about your story and Happy Days and Dark Nights, which is out now. You can actually pick up a copy out there as well.
Amazon?
Of Jerry and Suzanne's book.
Yep, Amazon.com.
And go to Amazon.com, and it is called Happy Days and Dark Nights.
I like to say I'm responsible for the happy days, and he's responsible for the dark.
It's your fault, Jerry. It's your fault.
Yeah, your fault.
But I'd love to know your story, Jerry, of why the book and what prompted you to write this piece of work.
Well, Happy Days and Dark Nights is a story of American dream turned nightmare turned miracle, and it should have never happened to Jerry and Suzanne McLean, because before Happy Days, we had a very successful career as an opening act for stars. Don Rickles, the Smothers Brothers, we were everybody's favorite opening act in Las Vegas, Tahoe, and Reno. So we were making a lot of money and doing very well, and not only that, but taking our Bibles on the set with us when we do the Dean Martin show and other shows. And we were known as the kids who brought the Bibles on the set, and we would share Jesus in between a take at the Dean Martin show or whatever show we were doing at the time.
Wow. Nice.
So when I got into cocaine, this was big news in the entertainment industry for people who didn't know the Lord even.
Mm.
No, not Jerry McLean.
Right.
Even, you know, my fraternity brothers from UCLA, I was a very straight guy during that time, and that was just an unbelievable thing. But, you know, when Happy Days was number one, it was something like, I think Hal Lindsey called it one time, it was really a
spiritual.
Yeah, it was a spiritual deceit.
Mm.
And I was sitting one night there at Warner Brothers with Fleetwood Mac, George Harrison of the Beatles, and Elton John, and the cocaine was being passed around liberally.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I'd seen drugs before. I mean, we'd been around all kinds of drugs for years. Why would I have it on this time? You know, and I think it was the fact that I thought, well, they know who I am. These are these great stars. I can have a little bit of cocaine and apologize to God tomorrow. I knew it was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I had a little bit of cocaine, except the tomorrow came several years later after almost destroying our marriage, really destroying a wonderful career, and a lot of friendships.
Wow. You know, I addiction is such an amazing thing for the creative arts community, because we often find ourselves so often looking to medicate ourselves, and we use it, you know, people use it that do use it as sort of like a shield, and you know, we do it in isolation or it's one of the things to do. You know, you go to a party and, you know, as I was saying,
there's
you know, my brother would be in the same place, and if the lines weren't coming out and you weren't participating, then okay, you're not cool. You're not a part of the family, of the creative arts family. And I think that, you know, that to me is just – so what age was that for you? You guys obviously were at the top of your career and going, as you said. I mean, I want to know more, and I'm sure the listeners do too, about your story about Dean Martin and the likes. I mean, you can get on Worship Factory at worshipfactory.net, and you are listening to Worship Factory, KKLA 99.5 FM. But we're talking about a journey and a book by the name of Happy Days and Dark Days, or Dark Nights.
You have some really cool God stories in there, too. My favorite is the angel story. Do you have time to share about that?
Sure. After I stopped doing cocaine, somebody asked me, why didn't the drug dealers come after you? And when we were in the last pages of writing our book, and we're on a deadline the next day, Suzanne asked me, yeah, I said, I was just curious myself, why didn't the drug dealers, you know, ever really come after you? Because you owed these guys some money. And I said, well, didn't I ever tell you? And she said, did you ever tell me what?
The story of our marriage.
Yeah.
You thought you told me what?
Well, about 3 years after I stopped doing cocaine, I ran into one of these guys who's, I changed his name in the book because he is a very big person. And so I said, Mongo, I don't remember what I called him in the book right now. Why didn't you ever come after me? Because I gave my testimony, you know, right there at the car wash in Toluca Lake. Why didn't you ever come after me? And he said, oh, I did. He said, I came over to your house many times. And there was a guy standing in front, a gardener, and I would get only so far up your driveway, and he would stop me and say, this is a house protected by God. You're not to come any further.
Wow.
He said, that's so psyched me out that I never came again.
Wow.
And around the same time, I ran into another drug dealer that I owed money to, and I said, Scott, I think that's his real name, why didn't you ever come after me? I met him at the drugstore, talking about drugs in the drugstore.
Go figure.
He said, I came over to your house many times, and there was a guy sitting on your front porch in that chair, and I'd only get so far, and he would say, this is a house protected by God, you're not to go any further.
You have no business.
Wow.
No business here. So I told
almost
that to Suzanne.
Line.
Wow.
And pardon me. And so she said, we have to call Hal and tell him right now about this. So we called Hal, and Hal said, I'll stop the presses for that story.
Yep.
Wow. That one has to go in the book. So it was the last thing that was in the book that we added. And so it's a blessing to know that God was protecting my family, was protecting my house while he was renewing Jerry McLean, while I was being reclaimed by the Holy Spirit, while he was doing a new work in me. I needed the protection.
Wow.
And I would have never known that protection was there till I got to heaven, except for running into those two guys a week apart.
And, you know, many people would say, well, you know, what was it like writing that book? Because you have to bring all that up again.
Right.
And it was true. Yeah. And I remember I thought, Lord, if you could just get us through this time, if you could just help me by erasing all of these memories that I have and the horrible times. Lord, I just ask you to take away all of this so that I would be able to look at Jerry like you see Jerry. Mm-hmm. And then I would be able to forgive him. Mm. And every time he left the house, that I wouldn't say, oh, God, what's going to happen to him this time? He is, you know, at this point, we had a 4-year-old son that was at home. And, of course, I don't know how much he really knew, but, you know, it was just a difficult, difficult time. And so I remember thinking that. And God did such an amazing job of erasing these memories from my head that when it came time to write the book 10 years later, I said to Stormy, I don't remember all that went on. She said, well, we sure do, and I'll help you write the book.
Nice.
The power of a praying friend, right?
That's
here,
right.
Going to help me write this
right.
book.
That's right.
So you know what? God does take away that hurt, so that you can build back this friendship, this relationship, this marriage, this trust.
And
that's
something only God and His Holy Spirit can do.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, I know a lot of times change comes when we hit a bottom. Was there a clear moment for you when you're like, okay, I've got to change, I've got to do something?
That time came so late. You know, I thought it would come. It should have come much earlier, but I was so stubborn about it. I was hiding it.
Yeah.
But God gave Jarrett an incurable eye condition. And that eye condition was told by doctors was something that could not be cured. And God kept telling me when we'd go to doctor's appointments, it's your vision, Jerry, that needs to be healed, not Jarrett's. When you're healed, I'll heal Jarrett. So we tell the story in the book, and it's a rather long and it's a real precious story, but ultimately I stopped doing cocaine. I went back and forth with the Lord on that. I'd do cocaine, Jarrett's vision would get worse, and then I'd stop doing cocaine, and it'd get better. And I'd say, okay, I get it. I get it.
But part of it was that Jerry and Jarrett had to do eye exercises together three times a day. So Jerry had to be there. I was teaching at this point at Village Christian School, which really, yay, Crusaders, which really was my saving grace, because I found there a family that loved me and that I could go with Jarrett to school, and, you know, I could just lose myself in teaching music, which I love and have done for 30 years there now. And so, really, Jerry was in charge of these exercises, and he had to be home. And through that, there began to be built a relationship with Jarrett and Jerry, and the eyes were totally healed. And
at that time, Jarrett's vision was 100 over 20.
Wow.
And when I stopped doing cocaine, his vision miraculously went to 20/20.
Wow.
Amen.
And today, years later, his vision is 20/20.
Oh, my goodness.
And my vision is 20/20.
Amen.
Wow. You know, I'm so amazed at the recovery process, and especially when the Lord Jesus Christ is involved and you allow him to do that. You may be somebody that's out there that's actually hurting, or you're in the same predicament. And, you know, you're hearing the stories of Jerry and Suzanne McClain. Pick up a copy of the book, Happy Days and Dark Nights. You can pick it up on Amazon.com. But we can't encourage you enough. There is hope out there, and that's what
right.
This show is
Amen.
All about. There is hope, and there's hope
through
in Jesus Christ, without a doubt. Get into your church. Get it something. Reach out to somebody, because there is an addiction, and it is an addiction for a reason. There's something that you're out of control of, and you have no control over that. And we're here, worshipfactory.net, to try and uplift and support and encourage you. We can't thank them enough. We'll be right back with our Exposed segment on worshipfactory.net.
Every night I sat beside my window, wishing that someone could see the pain I was going through. If only there was someone to take my hand and guide me down this road, then I would know that someone true